Everybody, welcome to a Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. I'm Horry alongside. We'll take you to three. Normally, we would send it off to our good friend Phil Benatti, his fine show behind the bench. But the schedule for the Giants is such that the Giants will be starting with the pregame at 3:10, both today and tomorrow at 3:40. First pitch is our time from Pittsburgh. So it'll be from us to a little bit of commercial and a little bit of network segue over to the Giants, who, of course, I'm not saying righted the ship, but at least if the ship be sinking, as we said last week, a la Michael Ray Richardson's comment about the Knicks many years ago, at least the Giants put some sort of patch over the flooding within the confines of the boat. And so hopefully after getting 2-3 in New York, they might be able to do the same in Pittsburgh and get semi-even for the 0-6 that those two teams, the Mets and Pirates, handed the Giants last week in San Francisco. It's not too late for the Giants as far as the wild card, but it's getting very, very close. By the way, the question that I had from Padre fan Ronald about a comment I made last week, I'll get to that in a second. Paul with me today. A lot to talk about, including Taylor Ward winning a game last night or yesterday afternoon for the Angels, and Aaron Judge, I think, supposed to come back tomorrow in the DH role for the Yankees. We'll get to all of that and everything going on at Fresno State in a moment. But first, our lead dogs, as always, want to spend some time with you. Number one, if you are lucky enough to be leaving work early at 2:07 in the afternoon, or you're looking forward to a late lunch right now and then back to work, or you're just planning for post 5 p, keep in mind about the great deal that our local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman have right now. We, of course, are very happy that they're aboard the Bulldog train. They're part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, the very important entity for Fresno State NIL monies. Right now, the local KFCs, you have the $7 fill-up. For just $7, you've got the crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or classic famous bowl, all there, each choice with a drink, with sides, and even sweet pie poppers, and you can top it all off with the new peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. Great opportunity for you at the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Also keep in mind the longtime Tuesday deal still in place, the 8-piece bucket, dark meat, extra crispy original recipe, or the tenders for just $10. That's been there for a good long while. And don't forget about the country fried steak for $5.99 on Wednesday. Great deals at the KFCs. And if you stop in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, Kerman, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective and taking steps to try to level the playing field for Fresno State the best we all can financially. Anyway, thanks to everybody at KFC. And to stop by and grab a bucket or two if you can. The other reminders, the Giants I mentioned coming up later. I'll tell you all about the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information at 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And when we go over the schedule for today and the week, we'll tell you all about Engineering Yardage, the great fundraiser that Ed's company has for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. Year number 5 for that coming up when we kick it off now in less than 3 weeks from Lawrence, Kansas on Fox Television, Big Fox, on the 23rd. The other reminders, before I bring Paul up, keep in mind every day Lee's allows me the time to tell you about the weather. Again, terrific local people, been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work, really professional people. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, Roofing, it's right there. You can give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or go to the web at leesair.com for more information. Also, they bring you guests like Paul Leffler and callers from the general public during Phil's show on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, we've been saying this for a while. You know, 68 summers in this town, and I don't remember a situation where the whole house fan gets to be turned off like at midnight or 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning. Central air does not need to be used, and it's actually cool outside, and we continue to be creature comfort-wise, in a great place right now. Now, the problem with the wildfires, particularly those down Santa Barbara, San Luis area, those make it problematic, and we always have to be careful around here about that as well. But beyond that, as far as the temperatures go, you have lows again in the 60s at the start of the week, a high of just 94 today, and breezes up around 11 to 15. There might be gusts in the north part of the valley in the 20s today. But after a 94 today, a 95 tomorrow, a 99 on Wednesday, and then we go 101, 103, 102, 102, still not bad at all, and the lows stay high 60s, low 70s, and the winds are up still around 10 miles an hour. So you can't ask for anything more. Hopefully the air will clear up a little bit and the wildfires will not become a problem in that regard. But for this time of year in this town to have this kind of weather is a real blessing, and I hope it holds a little bit longer. The other proviso, we bring it up every day, and unfortunately, these are words that are not heeded by everybody. Just watch the news at night. You'll know what I'm talking about. Stay away from the rivers. One more time. I don't know how many tragedies we're going to have before people understand that the water in the rivers, I don't care how hot you might be, a lot colder than you think, and the currents move a lot more quickly. Just stay away. You've got lakes you can go to if someone who can swim. You've got controlled areas around pools in town. Just don't go to the rivers unless you're experienced and you're going to be in a boat and you're there for other reasons. Just don't jump in and try to cool off, because you may find yourself in big, big trouble. We keep talking about it, and it keeps happening, and I hope that everybody starts to understand the danger there. Anyway, thanks, everybody, at least, for allowing us time to tell you about the weather and other things. And again, you can find them on the web at leesair.com, or give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES. And then finally, our good friend Joe Cruz wants to remind you about what he does for Fresno State and has now for over three decades with his fine business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating his 25th anniversary. Talk about this all the time. If you're working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you're around a boiler, anybody who relies upon valves, and you've got the great valves and chemical hoses and food-grade hoses and everything there at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, if you have a valve problem, it can take your business down in a big hurry. Not only do you have Superior components there at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, but also you have same-day estimates, same-day service, so the quality product, and you have great family-friendly people around to help you. If you have a problem, give Joe or Gabe a call, 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or you can catch more information on the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Anything you need, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, everything is there for you. Tell Joe what your problem is, and he will keep you up and running, if at all possible, on the same day. He'll certainly address everything on a same-day basis and keep you up and running in a big hurry, and that way your business doesn't suffer that catastrophic hit to the bottom line. And while you're there, if you have time, after Joe addresses the needs for your business, he will tell you what he has done for Fresno State as a booster for over three decades and urge you to do the same. And right now, the best avenue toward donation, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. Take you to different areas. BulldogFoundation.org is there. Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. Keep in mind, Shakira coming up now in just a few days. And then you have under ways to give the individual sports club, so your money goes directly to that team. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me to talk basketball every Wednesday. I said you can call him directly on his cell because he's in the board of directors timeout club, 559-287-3305, or his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com. Dugout club is there for baseball, and other links for men's and women's sports as well under ways to give. And then finally, the aforementioned Bulldog Bread Collective, talking about this in regard to KFC, Marcus McMurrin heading this up. Everything is in-house at the university, but you have the separation between the university monies that can go directly to athletes and still the NIL sponsorship. So keep in mind, if you have any idea sponsorship-wise, any thought about a commercial that you might want for your business, for instance, or any donation you might have, hit up Marcus McMarion, bulldogbread.com, bread as it on the table, B-R-E-A-D.com. Paul, I know you ask about that. We always put bread on the table. All right, that's all I'm telling you. Anyway, Marcus wants to hear from you. Anything you have for him, he'll get back to you as soon as possible. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, the entire gang, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, the local operators, KFC, Fresno, Clovis, Selma, Kerman, and the local folks at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We appreciate one and all. And now we turn to the voice of your Bulldogs and our longtime visitor on air and longtime friend, Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing?
Doing great, Tony, and I'll add to that, if any of those people are responding to that, I want to include that Fresno State logo in those ads, and they need to come see my friends here at Bulldog Sports Properties, and they'll take care of them. There's some pretty cool things that are coming this football season, but there's still a few opportunities out there available. Mike and Trey and Jimmy and Josue will help them out. They can't be your backup dancers on Thursday night, though, Tony. Your hips are going to have to do all the line all by themselves.
What Paul's talking about is, since we had Gladys Knight and the Pips when I was a kid, I was a grown man, for goodness sake. But I mentioned to Paul that with Shakira, that he, Paul, Pat Hill, and Cam Worrell could be the backup dancers and backup singers for Shakira, and it could be Shakira and the Hips. And evidently that has flown like a Led Zeppelin, to make another music reference. All right, so that's enough of that. By the way,
let's turn to Jimmy Page here, Tony.
There you thank you. Here we go. All right, how long are we going to go with this? All right, but I will say this, Paul. I'm very impressed by the reorganization that Garrett Classy has done with trying to streamline things at Fresno State. I think it's a really good idea, and I hope that everybody gets involved. And it's something I wanted to ask you about, Paul. But first, before I forget, Ronald, the comment I made after Mason Miller landed with the Padres last week, since you're a big Padre fan and we don't have a chance to talk baseball much in that regard because of the Bulldog Hour confines, very quickly, I had mentioned that I thought the A's, even though they still had Miller under control for four more years, would probably deal him before the deadline because, simply put, they don't have enough leads to justify keeping a closer as opposed to getting prospects, and they got the third best prospect in all the land, and DeVries is coming there. What I mentioned was, when they did not get rid of Robert Suarez, the Padres, or Cease, I said evidently they're going to try to do what the Royals did in 15, what the Yankees did for a title prior to that years earlier, turn it into a six-inning game, and then have relievers for the 7th, 8th, and 9th. For instance, yesterday you saw Miller go in the 8th, then Suarez in the 9th. That can be flip-flopped. I wasn't saying that Cease was going to end up being a reliever, though he could, because his effectiveness has been more in the first three innings. It is that if they're going to do that, then guys that can carry five or six innings as a starter become very valuable. They can't get you to the closer, but they can get you to a couple of setup guys, and that's what I meant. So just to clarify that. Paul, as we turn now to topics at hand, I did want to bring up two things that I hit upon at the start. Taylor Ward winning a game again for the Angels yesterday. You and I talked prior to the deadline. I really thought he was on his way to the Yankees. Any idea from your point of view what happened there?
Yeah, I mean, clearly the Angels decided they weren't sellers, and they wanted to hold on to him. And, you know, I think part of that is probably his contract situation, that they figure they can get more value of him through arbitration. But, he's having a great year. And I think they decided, we're going to play this out. We're going to try to do what we can with the talent that we have. And I'm just excited for him and his wife, Taylor, and their kids. And I know he loves being in Anaheim, spend some off-season time in Georgia, and I'm sure his parents would have loved to see him play on the East Coast more, but he's found a real good home there. I think it's great for their family, and to see what he continues to do. I mean, he's you look at overall numbers and people say, oh, well, his average could be a little higher. Yeah, it could be, but it's about the big league average for average. And then you look at the RBI numbers and they're off the charts. So it means that he's even better when the situation is bigger. And that's why there was a lot of trade value for him, right? It wasn't that there weren't suitors. And with everything going on in New York, as you reference, and the idea of Stanton's the outfield, you'd love to have a guy like Taylor Ward in that mix, but I think it comes down to the Angels saying, you know, we'd rather play this out and see if maybe we can sign him to that first big deal that he gets when it comes right to that time. So for his sake, I hope that's what happens.
Well, we know that people have been waiting for Mike Trout, who is a New Jersey native, to decide to go home, but he is evidently going to stay in Anaheim. He is going to become the Tony Gwynn of the Angels, if people don't know what I'm talking about. Tony Gwynn had many chances to leave San Diego and just wouldn't do it. Now, that was also his home. I mean, he grew up in Long Beach and played at San Diego State. That's why he's got a stadium named after him. But as long as guys like Trout stay, it's that, you know this, Paul, there isn't a better place to play than the Big A in Anaheim. The weather is terrific all the time there. The atmosphere is great. The problem is, other than the gift that the Giants handed the Angels in 2002, that I'm not over 1962, so you can imagine that 2010, 2012, and 2014 did not salve the wounds from 2002. But other than that, the Angels have not had success on the field. So it is an interesting decision to make when you roll into your 30s, right?
It is, and it's, I mean, it really comes down to what your feelings are and what your priorities are. And, you know, when you have that kind of career, hopefully you do have a chance to have some say in it and make choices. I mean, you look at Derek Carr, right? I saw Derek last week. In fact, I got to see him swing a bat last week, and the results were impressive. But, you know, look at the money that he turned down because – there were things in his life that were more important than money. And, you know, we'll see how that goes with Trout. I think maybe the bigger issue is having gone to that stadium this year for the first time in a long time and actually getting to see Taylor Ward go deep. I sat out there in the Trout Farm, and they may need to rename that Trout Farm area beyond the left field wall because you don't see Mike out there. I don't know if you're going to see him out in that part of the stadium.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably a good point. Yeah, the Farmer Mike is not – yeah, okay. I just know this, Paul. I respect any guy who will stay the course. And like you said, it may very well have been that the Yankees tried as hard as they could because – and it segues to the point, the one about Aaron Judge. And you and I talked about it last week. Aaron's a great outfielder, one of the best in baseball. We talked about one of the best five-tool players to ever play the game. He's on my Mount Rushmore of all-time great five-tool players. But he also is going to have to concede, even with the DH, that there may be times that first base starts to beckon. You mentioned he played in high school, did not play at Fresno State. He comes back as a DH. I think he's going to come back tomorrow. Well, do you see him back out in the field next, or do you see him somehow trying to sort out first base, or is that something that really needs to be done in the offseason?
Yeah, I think you're looking at the offseason because, you know, number one thing is he needs to be healthy. So, you know, they're always going to be very guarded about that information. I mean, this is one of the best athletes on the planet, and in my mind, the greatest player in the history of baseball. I mean, we've talked about it many times. There's never been a player quite like him, and he's still improving. He's still getting better. But clearly, this is a serious enough situation that, you know, you need to be careful. So if they need to say, hey, you're not throwing a ball the rest of 2025, but you can right still hit, and he's still productive. I mean, look how that worked for Ohtani, right? A guy who's come back better than ever. So I think if that's what it ends up being, that's what they'll do. But he's also a guy that wants to help the team in every way he possibly can. So if it's not going to do further damage for him to be out there throwing the ball again, then that's what he's going to do. And in between, he's just going to keep being the incredible leader that he is. I'm sure he's made a difference even as he's been on the IL, being in guys' ears, you know, taking stock of the big picture, figuring out what he can do to try to right the ship there and get everybody moving in the same direction. So long term, I think you got to be smart with him. Will he be pushing it a little bit? Maybe. But he's smart, too. I mean, you and I have talked so many times. He said five tools, and you might have to up that number because the greatest tool he has is right between his ears and beating inside of his chest. And that's what makes him so special. So I think it may be a while before we see him unleashing rockets again, but it won't be forever. I don't think it's something that's going to change his career to the degree we've seen some other players where, you know, his outfield days are not over. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, of course, the first thing he said, and it was justifiable and then some, was the relief when the two words Tommy John came up, that he was not victim to that, and that would have been a real problem, obviously. So he dodged that one, and hopefully it's going to work out well. And as we talked, even to come back and play first base, if that were to happen, it doesn't mean you're not going to throw the ball. You're not going to be throwing it 270 feet, but you are going to be throwing it at times with velocity. So you're going to have to be careful regardless, which is why right now I'm with you. It's going to be DH, and then if and when he's ready, he'll be back in the outfield. Anyway, we'll see what happens. And, of course, we know what the weight of expectations are. If there's one differentiation between what Taylor Ward is going through in Anaheim and what Aaron Judge is going through in the Bronx, the weight of expectation for Aaron Judge and the Yankees is substantially different than that of the Angels, that's for sure, as far as the general public and their front offices go. I'm not talking about internally in the clubhouse, whatever. They might both probably feel the pressure, but not to the intensity you do with the New York media, that's for sure, and the New York fan base, by the way. All right, Paul, I want to ask you here, speaking of fan bases, I mentioned the reorganization, and we know that the co-op that came along when we had the De La Serta $1 million donation, and that was great. You are, as I think, I don't know as anybody who is more in tune with what's going on in the Valley, because you do a lot of speaking engagements, you talk to a lot of people, you're still doing your veteran show, so you're out there. Paul, the disconnect that we have seen because of Measure E not passing, is that a disconnect that is valley-wide as you travel? Is it a specific issue? Bob Cuadra wrote a piece in the B again, and he talked to Garrett Classy, and one of the things that came out, again, was this belief philosophically that Garrett mentioned, that a lot of people in the Valley do not embrace student-athletes being paid directly for their services. So that is not unique across the country, Paul, but is it more than 50% here? In other words, is it more overriding in this valley than other places? Is that part of the problem where people across the board maybe aren't supporting Fresno State the way you'd like to see?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if I'm qualified to answer it just because I haven't studied all the other places all that much. I think there is a degree of that sentiment, and you can understand why, right? What makes the Valley special, what's made Fresno State such a, you know, ubiquitous underdog for all these years, is that this is a hard working community, right? It's a place where you earn what you get. No one expects to be handed anything. And I think there are a lot of people that work really hard to put food on their table. And if they see that, you know, there's a different priority there, and especially, you know, I think what a lot of people around the country bristle at is this thought of a player hasn't played a down of football or made a single basket, and
Right. Someone's
committed a large chunk of money to him just to be part of the program. It's just, you know, that's a complete paradigm shift in college sports. And I don't blame people for having a hard time digesting that. I do think that over time, you know, some of the seas will settle a little bit. That things will get standardized and normalized in this area of revenue sharing. I think it's going to look a little different as well. But, yeah, that is a tough one. And I think the bigger issue for me with Measure E, and I'm sure we've talked about this a time or two, I think it's really been a a situation where past headlines and decisions that have been made by prior leaders have been held against them, right? There's a lot of water under that bridge. There are, you know, sports that were discontinued. There's parking that was taken away. There are decisions that have been made that people weren't thrilled about. And so that erodes trust, right? Think about any organization, any team, any family. You know, when trust is damaged, it takes a while to repair. And I think the best thing that Garrett Classy can do, that Dr. Jimenez Sandoval can do, is what I think they're trying to do, which is just put the message out there, be as truthful and genuine and authentic as possible. And over time, that makes a difference. I think if the voters have time to see, hey, Fresno State's trying some new things. Hey, they're out there hustling. Hey, Fresno State has foresight. And you know what? They actually care about what I say. So the fact that Garrett Classy, as the athletic director, has gone to great lengths to meet with people all over the valley, the fact that the football coach has been out there and other coaches have been out there, not just in Fresno, but around the valley, that says something, right? Those are the right kinds of things to do. And in those settings, people have a chance to shake their hand, to look them in the eye, to gauge for themselves, how genuine is this message? Is this something that I can invest in? Is this something that I would want, you know, this fractional tax, but part of my income, to go towards? And I think that over time, they have a chance to achieve that critical mass of trust, which to me is the most important factor. You know, I think it also hasn't helped with the Measure E thing that, you know, somehow they ended up this last time with having, I think, the largest elements of both major political parties against the measure. And, yep. You know, I think we've followed politics enough to know that if that's the case, you've got a real uphill battle. So what would it look like if you got leadership elements of both sides of the aisle to see the value in it? That's when great things happen in our community, Tony. That's, you know, you mentioned the stuff that I get to do in the community, and Honor Flight is the lesson that keeps teaching me that over and over again. I got to give a speech at Fresno State last week at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute with some great veterans that joined me, and was just kind of recapping the story of where this came from. And it's just a story of who the people of the Valley are, and the veterans became that cause that everyone could agree on. And that's why we've been able to send over 2,000 vets to their memorial. And that's why people keep giving and keep coming up ways to make that happen. And that's what it takes. It takes a vision and a cause and a clarity of purpose. So I think the more they can get that clear vision out there, the better chance you have of a future Measure E passing, or, you know, those lead gifts. And every gift encourages other people to give. And there are a lot of people in this community who want to see good things happen. I went to a show at the St. Mark Center. I mean, it felt more like a church service than a show, and it was awesome. But the summer worship nights this week with Brandon Lake and Phil Wickham, and the St. Mark Center, it was packed to the gills. I don't know how many thousand people there, but it was more than 15. And I'm sitting there thinking, boy, how great would it be to have a crowd like this for a basketball game?
Right.
We haven't seen that in a long time. But you know that when there's quality there, and when there's a track record, and there's been consistency over time, that people will buy in, right? So I think we always want the quick fix. We always want the cure-all. But sometimes it takes time, especially when it comes to earning the community's trust. And I think that some real good steps have been taken in that direction, and I know that's the desire of the leadership at Fresno State, that they feel they have a vision that people should be able to believe in, and they're willing to do the dirty work to build that trust over time. So hopefully that's what we see materialize.
I'll talk football with Jackson tomorrow, and obviously with kind of the calm before the storm, because close practice and we glean what we can. The proof will be, of course, what happens on the 23rd of the month. It's nice to be able to say the 23rd of the month and not have to specify August, because we're in the month now. So we'll get back to that. But one thing I wanted to ask you about, Paul, and it's something I talked last week, you and I touched upon it, I talked to Freddie about it as well, the issue of whether Bulldog Stadium itself, and the example I used with Fertig was, when you become an empty nester and you look around in a very large house and all of a sudden you're saying, you know, I'm not so sure if I want to renovate this and change a lot of the things now because the kids aren't here anymore, or if by the time I'm done doing all the renovation, if it's cost ineffective and I'm better off to just sell and start again somewhere else. I bring this up because the stadium at Fresno State is sort of in that position. You know, it was brand new in the start of the 80s. We've gone now 40-plus years. A lot of things need to be changed. I've talked that it's not easy if you're going to add seating to go up. You already filled in the berms that were initially grass. Again, one more time, the initial renderings were for a 20,000-seat stadium. By the time it was built, it was 30. When that wasn't enough, filled in sides and got to 40. But you still haven't gone up, and the things that have to be done earthquake standard-wise are very daunting. A lot of things amenities-wise, a lot of infrastructure that has to be done. I know the cost, Paul, of another stadium, but would it excite the community more? Would you see more wallets open up to the extent you would need if you went ahead and made a move for a new stadium, maybe across the way closer to SMC, where you then can play at the older stadium and not get caught out? Because one of the things that, as you know, Fresno State faces, as opposed to other particular metropolitan areas, there's nothing that approximates the seating of Bulldog Stadium. If that is rendered unusable while you're renovating, you got a real problem. All that in the witch's brew, Paul, if you were king for a day, but you were also in charge of the bottom line, which makes the most sense, renovation or new stadium across the way? What do you say?
You know, I don't have a monopoly on ideas, and I'm sure there are a lot of people listening right now who have given it more thought and are a lot smarter than I am. I think both possibilities have merit. You know, there's a neighborhood around the stadium that has been troubled for a long time. Could you, you know, find areas of town where you could build some new low-income housing to, you know, move some of the folks in that area to, in theory, what could be a better situation for them? So, in other words, upgrade their experience and then, you know, maybe build where some of that area has been a sore spot for some over the years. Leaders have tried to solve that problem for a long time, right? I think people in the community know that that area around the stadium is often referred to not so affectionately as Sin City, right? It's an area where there have been a lot of crime reports. But, you know, in the One Fresno vision of Jerry Dyer, those areas are just as important as the priciest zip code in North Fresno. So what would be a good solution there? What could you do to upgrade the day-to-day life of the folks who are in that area while maybe producing something that's going to raise property values in the area and benefit everybody? What's a win-win? Could you, you know, if there are some older properties around there that, you know, you're not going to eminent domain things, but can you make some deals with people in that area to buy up property and re-envision that whole area? Would you have to tear down the existing stadium to build there? How expensive would that be? Or, you know, I think the part of campus that comes up all the time is the farm. And, you know, we've seen with Campus Point, I mean, when I went to that concert the other night, you see the parking lot at Campus Point is hopping. And a lot of weekends, there's a lot of traffic in and out, in and around that area. And right there you have the Gibson Farm Market, which, by the way, has had fresh figs recently. They've got jalapenos and probably the best price in town on Fresno chilies, the little red ones that pack a punch. They've got some Anaheim chilies. It's great tomatoes. The place to make your homemade salsa right now is that Gibson Farm Market of Fresno State. But, you know, you've got a lot of farmland right around there that could be a great place for a stadium. But what does that mean for Fresno State's flagship program? Right. In the Jordan College of Agricultural Science and Technology, it means you would have to replace that farmland probably exponentially in another part of town. And there are some provisions written encoded to block that. So you would have to find a way to get that changed. And I don't know how realistic that is. But would that be good for the community? Possibly. You know, there was a time when Fresno State made that big move from where Fresno City College is now to the current campus. And I'm sure at the time there were folks that say, no, we can't do that. That doesn't make any sense. Wait, we're going to move the whole campus up there and then still play the football games at Ratcliffe? That's goofy. Well, I mean, you can extrapolate that to this situation. And, you know, if it turns out that the best place for a stadium to go is where they're currently growing that sweet corn, but we get to double the capacity for sweet corn by adding some acreage a little further out, to me, that makes some sense. But there may be some elements of that dynamic that I don't understand. So, like, I started this by saying I'm not the authority. Let me conclude it by saying I'm not the authority. But those are conversations, right? There might be something I just said that someone really reacted to. Those are conversations you need to have. You know, it's okay for people to react. It's okay for other ideas to get out there. There may be something that you know, somebody who's never been affiliated with Fresno State has thought of that would actually be the best winning idea. But if you don't have those conversations, you never know. So I think you need to be open to all creative approaches to it, because it is that critical. You know, if you want to have any chance of competing in where the college football specifically landscape is going, you've got to address that issue. And, you know, hats off to Garrett Classy for having the courage to take it head on and not just demurring every time that topic comes up.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, Paul, and again, too short on time, so to be continued, but yeah, I remember well, because I'm old, what it was like when around Fresno State, first of all, you go to Peter and Shaw, and I'll never forget, we had a professional bowling league that didn't last long in the early 60s. I have the distinction of being the first person thrown out of the facility because you were not supposed to eat, which is a great rule. You could only eat in the lobby. You couldn't go in and eat to watch the bowling, and I tried to eat, and they, at 5 years old, tossed me out, which means my dad had to leave with me, and he was not delighted, as you might imagine. But it seemed like, and that was at Peach and Shaw, and it seemed like we were going into hinterlands, for goodness sake. Everything around Fresno State, you had Lester Berger hanging around there. I think Ole Friole was there. And then it was just farmlands everywhere. Everywhere. And there was, like you said, just that dot that was Fresno State. And it was an odd kind of situation because, as you mentioned, Ratcliffe was still down by Fresno City College, which it still is, by the way. And you had to have great vision to figure out where we were going. Now the difference is, and you know this, Paul, and you just brought it up, those vast lands, never mind what you're taking from agriculture, they're just not available. The city has exploded to the north, to the west, to the east, much to the detriment of the southern part of the city, of course. And because of that, Paul, I do wonder if no matter what you try to proffer, it's going to be perceived as robbing Peter to pay Paul, when I'm somebody who really wants to see a new stadium so that they can do the things that I don't think they can do renovation-wise, but I certainly understand the tremendous political hazard that is in front of them. And a monumental undertaking to go ahead and try to start all over again somewhere else around campus, right? I mean, that's the reality, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be monumental no matter what, and it is going to take courage, and it's going to take vision. And I do think, you know, a lot of times people, you know, they never really have the conversation because they say, oh, well, we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this. No one's ever done that. But, you know, when great things happen, it's because someone has the courage to say, well, what if? What if we can find a win-win? You know, if you doubled the acreage of the Fresno State farm and created more opportunities for more students and more capacity to grow produce that the community is enjoying even more and more, and raise that profile around. I mean, that's what I do every game we play, Tony. I'm giving the other team's announcer something from the Gibson Farm Market and saying, hey, we grow this on our campus at Fresno State. Nobody else really does that, right? There's a novelty there it's not a big deal to us, but it is to others, and you can raise that profile. So, if you had to go with that option of using farmland, maybe you can make it a win-win. Maybe, you know, you create an opportunity for the students that isn't there already. So that's what I think, you know, instead of somebody having to lose, you end up expanding and growing.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, my older daughter Avery goes to USC, and her big thing there is USC racing. They build an open-wheel race car. They spend the whole school with other engineering students that she works with. And this year she's going to be the lead of the suspension and vehicle dynamics sub-team. And they found out last week that, you know, the engineering school's budget is getting cut by a big number, so they need to go out and raise some money so they can keep competing. She got to compete at Michigan International Speedway this year against 120 other schools around the country. It was awesome. I've never even heard of that, right? I've been around sports my whole life. And when she told me that, I was like, okay, yeah, maybe I can help you raise some money for that, and maybe we can get Fresno State to start a program, because engineering students at Fresno State should have that same kind of opportunity. If we think that way, and I'm not trying to point to myself. That's just the most recent example I can think of here's a problem. How can we solve it and maybe actually start something new, too, and create more opportunities? And I think if you look at the stadium dynamic that way, there's going to be a win-win out there. And maybe part of it is what Garrett Classy's already doing, which is let's get more events in the football stadium. If we can prove that the market is there for a multi-use stadium and that Fresno State's football stadium can be used for a whole lot of other things, then I think that just ups the incentive for the community to find a way to make it happen. So I think it's only a matter of time till we see it, Tony. And you can send me your blueprints anytime you feel free to share.
Well, look, Paul, again, you're preaching to the choir there, because I just believe 100% that no matter where you're going to do it, you have to start all over again. I just don't think putting a giant Band-Aid on it, as well-intentioned though it may be, and maybe it is the only financial avenue you have, and I have great sympathy for those trying to go through this. I just think it is time to start over again. That's all there is to it. Just too many other compliance issues and things, ADA, earthquake standards, California standards, to try to retrofit right now. But like I said, I'm not the one that's making the decision, and I understand the difficulty of it, but I would really hope that you can get people to embrace the idea that we're going to start again, and if it takes people helping out financially, they would be willing to do it, whatever bonds or whatever might be there. Paul, appreciate it as always, my friend. We will get back to football next week. Always great having you on. Take care. Have a good one. We'll see you.
Yeah, and it was a great practice today with Pat Hill and Jeff Tedford at quarterbacks making plays, so Jackson should have plenty to talk to you about tomorrow.
Certainly, and I know that Pat was running his wide receiver and running 80-yard flies, so it was unbelievable. I didn't know Teddy could still throw at 90, but that's their story, and they're sticking to it. All right.
Yeah, Pat made a one-handed catch with his left hand and his right arm in a sling. It was the best thing I've ever seen.
There you go. I thought it was nachos on the other hand. I didn't know. All right, Paul, talk to you later, my friend. Take care. I'll see you.
See you, Tony.
All right, guys. Paul Leffler, take a break. Come back, talk about the schedule. Get you ready for Los Gigantes. Get started at 3:10 today. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to 52. A couple minutes ago on the show. Again, normally we would hand it off to Phil for his outstanding show behind the bench, but the Giants happened to start very early today with a 3:40 first pitch our time in Pittsburgh, first of three. So the pregame will come up at 3:10. So both today and tomorrow, by the time we wrap up, it's pretty well into the pre after a little bit of commercial business. So Phil will be back with you on Wednesday. Right now, I want to talk about the entirety of the schedule, courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel, his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And remind you again about the great fundraiser Ed has for the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State. Ed, a very proud graduate. Again, the goal to unify athletics and academics, to provide more funding resources to students. That is what Engineering Yardage is all about. For the last 4 years, for every yard gained through the air, donation has been made by Precision Civil Engineering to Lyles College of Engineering. We look forward to year number 5 beginning on the 23rd of the month. big fox, so get ready for it. We're just a little under 3 weeks away from that game. Again, I'll talk to Jackson tomorrow about what's going on practice-wise, in addition to the fact that we were kidding around, of course, that Teddy and Pat were out there today, and Pat does have his arm in a sling, but still made a catch. So I'm sure Jackson will have the play-by-play breakdown of that tomorrow for us. But anyway, thanks to Ed Dunkel, the entire gang at Precision Civil Engineering, for allowing us the time to tell you about the schedule. Phil normally 3 to 6, Monday through Friday. Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. El Paso across from River Park. The Great Conversation of Phil's show, the best furniture on the planet, some good eats as well. Stop by and see Phil. Always stop by to see Rod and the great furniture there at Fashion Furniture. You can always reach Phil on the leesair.com hotline, which is 559-320-1430. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net, TDAD, the number one, at att.net. To the two Roberts and everybody else, I will get to your emails as soon as I can. I'm sorry I'm behind on those. Also, Paul Meadows will be back with his fine show. It's been on hiatus over the summer, at least the last couple of months. That's Central Valley Sports Report back on the 9th. So this coming Saturday, Paul will be back 10 a.m. to noon live from First Ring Sports on 1430 as we get started football all levels across the valley. So we look forward to Paul in his outstanding show. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. Also, keep in mind one more time, the very important collective that is BulldogBread.com. Bread, as in on the table, BREAD.com. Marcus McMurrian wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea. And speaking of that, again, we want to thank our friends at the local KFCs for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, talking about the operators in Fresno and Clovis and Selma and Kerman. And right now they have the terrific $7 Phillips deal underway. Again, you can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. Each come with a drink, with sides, and even sweet pie poppers. Also, you can top it all off with a peaches and cream sweet lightning soda, which is brand new at KFC. That's going on every day right now, just $7 for that. Also, you still have the Tuesday 8-piece $10 offer. That includes 8 pieces of dark meat, extra crispy, or original recipe, or the tenders. Also, don't forget, on Wednesdays, you have the country fried steak for just $5.99. So a great opportunity at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. If you stop in to grab a bucket or two or anything else, tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State, which is, of course, the Bulldog Bread Collective. Now, as far as the lineup goes, play-by-play-wise, before we wrap things up, the Giants have a 3:40 today and a 3:40 tomorrow. Verlander's going today for the Giants. Wisenhunt looked good over the weekend, so hopefully that's a portent of better things to come for the Giants. They're not out of it yet, but they're damn close. They really got to put a big streak together. It'll be two late afternoon games. Again, 3:40 first pitches, 3:10 priest today and tomorrow, and 14:30, and a morning game on Thursday. Phil will be back then after the two preempts, if you will, today and tomorrow, and then he'll be back on Wednesday for you, and then Thursday at Fashion Furniture. The A's are off today. They're headed east as well, as they're going all the way to D.C. to play the Nationals. They'll have a 3:45 tomorrow. So both teams playing late afternoon games this week. Also keep in mind, we have got NFL football, the Raiders, the Rams, the 49ers, everything through Westwood One. Everything, of course, with the World Series and the playoffs, whether our teams are involved or not. So a lot going on, and the Lakers making huge news over the weekend with Doncic signing that extension for 3 years. Lakers will be back with us and the rest of the NBA as well through ESPN Radio in addition to the Lakers Network. So a lot going on. Anyway, thanks as always to Jorge for his great job on the board. Thanks to Paul for his time. I'll talk to Jackson tomorrow, and the final thank yous go out to our sponsors, Precision Civil Engineering, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. I'll see you tomorrow with Jackson the Giants coming up in about 10 minutes. And hopefully, after losing six to the Mets and the Pirates in six games last week, the Giants, who are 2-1 right now, can get it done in Pittsburgh. We'll see what happens. Talk to you about it tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.